God our Father, we thank you for the living word which reveals to us the depth of your love and compassion. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, who bore our sins and sufferings to grant us everlasting life. This time we seek your presence in our hearts and minds and your Spirit between us, as we reflect upon you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Many times, when people feel weary, burdened, or helpless, they doubt if God really cares for them. They question if God really stands with them in their hour of suffering and misery. The Word of God says in Isaiah, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from God, and my right is disregarded by my God." In today's Old Testament reading, God says to Moses that I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard their crying. I am concerned about their suffering. Dear friends, it is for us to keep in mind that God sees, God hears and cares. When I attended Sunday school, in my young days, the easiest verse for us was Jesus cried, or Jesus wept. Very easy to memorize, but very intricate to understand that all-powerful Jesus cried for his people, then he cries for us today. He stands with us in our hour of suffering. He feels our pain with the same intensity. He really cares for us. We have a sovereign God who do not only knows our frame and what is in us, but also shares our flesh in him. My dear friends, God tells us, as recorded in Isaiah 49, he has inscribed us on the palms of his hands, and our walls are ever before him. During Moses' time, the Israelites suffered because of their slave drivers and taskmasters, and these days we suffer because of Satan's proactive approach as we draw closer to the end of time. It was but to save us from Satan's plan to make us suffer that Jesus came to the earth to take our infirmities and bear our diseases. His coming and his suffering for us was a product of an eternal counsel and consent that was agreed upon between the Father and the Son. The Son of the King, Son of the Creator, agreed to save us by undergoing the pain that we were to go through. And can you just imagine the profundity of God's love? That to save us sinners who have inherited the tendency of sinning right from Adam, he came down to earth. In today's gospel reading, we see that Peter was little elevated after Jesus said great things to him, which are recorded in the same chapter in the preceding verses, upon which we reflected last Sunday, if you remember. He was made bold with Christ after that. I think it is sometimes the same with us. It becomes difficult to keep the spirit low and humble in midst of great advancements. Jesus did not let anything come between his love for you and me. By rebuking Peter, who was then tempted by Satan to interfere in his love for us. He resisted the temptation with abhorrence and did not parley with it. He paralyzed Satan's plan for us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. By his wounds we have been healed, and now there is no hindrance. There is no hindrance, no stumbling block that is between God and us. Peter writes in the first chapter of his first epistle about the suffering destined for Christ and the subsequent glory with which he will come back. However, this does not mean that we will not suffer in any way. Jesus also foretells, as recorded in various places in the Gospels, including today's reading, about our share of worldly sorrow, which veils the eternal joy that rests in God's kingdom. This share is one of the privileges of the holy saints. When we follow Jesus, we lose our sinful self and our priorities change. We need to grow daily, have our spiritual senses exercised, and be aware of the devices of Satan, which may be in the form of evil thoughts, temptations, and may even come from a dearest friend. Jesus prepares us to carry our cross and be his followers. Not the cross which carries shame, but which carries glory. The same cross with which comes eternal bliss. All prophecies related to Christ's birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension in the Bible are fulfilled. Only one is yet to be fulfilled. Only one is yet to be fulfilled. That is his second coming. Jesus mentions in today's reading that he will come again with his angels in the glory of his Father. And as we wait for him to come again, Paul writes in the latter part of Romans chapter 12 that we love each other and hate evil. That we love each other and hate evil. While we wait to meet our merciful Savior, let us rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son.